The Development Review Board. We will begin the May 4th meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants can be on a video or audio conference. We're conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. It's also important that you keep your audio on mute and your video off when you're not involved in the case being heard. We will use a chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask questions of the moderators, which are Jay Rodenbeck and Angela Gomez. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the inspection of Public Records Act. So please keep your chat comments relative to the meeting. I would now like the DRB members to introduce themselves.
Morning, this is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority.
Good morning, Jeff Palmer for Code Enforcement.
Morning, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Jenny Wolfenborger with Transportation.
And once again, I'm Jolene Wolfley, Chair. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB through Zoom and to allow DRB members to provide some electronic signatures for approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this virtual meeting and electronic signatures after the meeting. Just a reminder to everyone, as of a couple weeks ago, the DRB split into two sessions. So this morning, we will establish our agenda, and then we will review those cases that are on the major case list. Anything that's a minor case on the agenda is listed as starting at 1:30. So the DRB will recess after the major cases, return at 1:30, and take up minor cases and sketch plats. But like I said, this morning we will establish the agenda for the day. Those DRB members who approve your site plan, plat, or infrastructure list today will electronically sign most of those documents after the meeting. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes documents through the DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of their utility signatures. Then the applicant will receive an emailed copy of the signed document. If you're approved with delegation, you will need to complete all your delegation items with the appropriate DRB members and then send the PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck for electronic signatures later. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, can you alert us to changes in the agenda?
Yes, good morning. For item number 5, PR 2021-5439, application SD 2022-27 for preliminary plat. The agent has requested a deferral to May 18th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 5 at High Assets Way to May 18th?
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 5, PR 2021-5439, preliminary plat, SD 2022-27 to May 18th. Ms. Gomez?
And for item number 7, PR 2021-6297, application SD 2022-39 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to May 11th.
Is there a motion to defer item 7 at 7300 Santa Barbara Road to May 11th? Is that correct? Ms. Gomez, 11, May 11?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I move for deferral of item 7 to May 11.
I need a second.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jenny Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 7, PR 2021-6297, SD 2022-39 to May 11th. Okay. Anything else, Ms. Gomez?
That's all I have this morning.
Okay. And just for everyone to note on the agenda, it does already defer item 9 to May 11th. And then let me ask staff a question. Mr. Rodenbeck, we're hearing item 1 then, correct?
He stepped away for just a moment, Madam Chair.
Okay. Let's see, I see Rose Miranda trying to connect. So I think they did want to be heard after all. So, okay. Now that we have the agenda set, I just want to let anyone who's here from the public that wishes to speak to know that your opportunity to speak will be when the item is called, and you will use the raise your hand feature down in the bottom of your screen. If you hover down there, the menu comes up. There's a smiley face reactions. If you click on that, it has a raise your hand feature, or you can press *9 to raise your hand if you're on the phone. And I will let you know when that speaking opportunity is. If we have any technical issues today, I will end the meeting and DRB will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number. We'll do that just ahead of the afternoon session. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB members apply the standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I would now like to introduce staff and swear them in. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is the Development Services Manager. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck, yes I do.
Mr. Robert Webb is planner to the DRB. Mr. Webb, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Shahab Biazar is the city engineer. Mr. Biazar, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar, I do.
And Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Sanchez. Thanks for being here. Okay, we're now ready to start our agenda, and let me check in. Mr. Rodenbeck, did item number 1, did they wish to be heard this morning?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I can confirm that. Eric Dablin also chimed in on the chat, and he's confirming too that he's here to represent them as the agent.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to call case number 1, PR 2022-6547, site plan SI 2022-216 for Rose Miranda at 10126 Coors Boulevard. And I see that MR Miranda is trying to connect. Who else might be here for the case?
Good morning. This is Eric Ablin with Extension Architects.
Oh, great. Okay. Are we able to proceed without Rose Miranda, who's trying to connect?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Can you please give your name, your firm, and address?
Sure. It's Eric Ablin, A-B-E-L-N, of Heights Venture Architects, 1111 North Loop West, Suite 800, Houston, Texas, 77008.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do swear.
Okay. Mr. Dolan, are you part of this case as well? Are you part of the applicant team? No, okay, I apologize. All right, go ahead, Mr. Ablin, if you want to go ahead and give us an update.
Sure. So we've made a revision and we're able to address several comments, some of the more significant ones being the queuing requirement, as well as working through the exterior design and the overlay requirements. At this submittal, the hydrology is and a MAFCA coordination is still ongoing. So we have a preliminary submittal into them for detention and to address the channel concerns that they had previously provided. So that's under preliminary design, and we are attempting to get a meeting with them to get some conceptual buy-in as we move towards the final design drawings. So we expect that process to be, you know, at least 4 to 5 weeks to get through all of those reviews, both the MAFCA and hydrology. The overlay compliance is still pending review, and we feel like we have addressed those comments, but we'll work with staff to address those final comments and make sure that we are aligned with compliance on the overlay district as well as the materiality. Regarding the signage comment, we've addressed all the signage square footage on the building, as well as we're moving forward with reusing the existing pole sign. The question came up as to what was the existing square footage, and the existing square footage of the existing Sweet Tomato sign is 67 square feet, and we are proposing to provide a 61.25 square feet cabinet. So we feel like we are within the range of the grandfathering requirements that we're using the existing structure. We're not raising the sign above the existing structure and sign, and we're actually reducing the overall square footage of the existing cabinet with the new cabinet. I think finally, the one item that I feel like needs the most attention at this time is transportation comments. Through the process, we've completed the traffic study, had been approved by the city with really no comments. And then DOT had come back with several comments, the most significant starting out to be the extension of the dedicated right turn lane. But as we submitted plans and they go through their review, another round of comments and another round of requirements have cropped up within two rounds of reviews. So what I want to get an understanding of is, where does this scope end? You know, the traffic study doesn't indicate the requirements or needs for any of these items, such as signal detection loops, streetlights. You know, ADA ramps are good to install, and we're certainly okay with installing those and maybe some restriping around those intersections. But with the introduction of the single loop detection, the signal timing up and downstream of Coors Boulevard, it opens up for a real potential for additional infrastructure requirements, understanding if the cabinets and the signal controllers of the computers of the cabinets are even up to grade to interface with new signal detections. And if there's already signal detections in place, I'm curious if the city would support us in telling DOT that there is signal detection potentially in place and that it is functioning. Maybe we'll work through the signal detection or the timing issue, but I'm really concerned about the redevelopment of this entire intersection and signals up and down Coors Boulevard, where it may not really be warranted given the redevelopment of this property and, you know, the reduction in square footage of restaurant to restaurant. I grant it's a drive-through, but I'm really concerned about the scope extension. And I just want to try to get a handle on where this additional scope can stop being added to the plans as we go through each round of review.
Okay. Thank you for the introduction. And your last name again is Abelm?
Yes, Abelm.
Abelm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Abelm. And I think as we work our way through DRB members, There will be comments and there can be some conversation about some of the things that you've brought up. Now I'm going to turn to the public. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item one at 10126 Course Boulevard? If you would raise your hand now or press star 9 if you're on the phone. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Let's go to Water Authority for comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. our prior main comment on this was to get a sewer easement. A draft of that easement has been shown. That would be a private sewer easement to the north across the, I think it's Rudy's Barbecue parking lot on the site plan. So I think that helps us out, and we can now issue our availability statement that's currently in researching. We have a queue to go through, so I think that will be a couple weeks before that's issued. And we will want that issued prior to signing off on your site plan today. The majority of what you're asking to do is very routine. You're using existing services. I think the only other thing that was abnormal in this project was the need for initial easement for the hydrant. And you provided a draft of that. We do have a standard easement front page. That's the Water Authority template for that. That would be a public water easement. So that's the one that needs to be signed by myself or another engineer at the Water Authority and the owner who's dedicating that easement. The exhibit that's provided would go behind that and support that public easement. We'll need that recorded prior to us signing your DRB site plan. We do accept what's called delegation on such easements. So basically, if you are approved at a DRB, but you don't have those easements recorded, you can get your Water Authority signature after they're recorded, but you don't have to come back to DRB through delegation. So that's something I'll throw out there. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Generally, we're looking pretty good. We need to issue the statement and we need to get those easements recorded prior to our signature. And it sounds like with the drainage and transportation stuff, you have a little bit of time to get our stuff worked out. So I don't have anything major for you today. If you have any questions about those items, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions for Mr. Carter?
This is Eric Ablin. No questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to code enforcement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Jeff Palmer with code enforcement. As addressed earlier in your presentation, my first question was about requesting the indication on the signage plans, the specific size of the existing sign face on the freestanding sign. And as you noted, you indicated the new sign is a 61 1/4 square feet, but did not indicate the existing sign size. You've done that verbally, but I just want to note that I think this is important to note on your site plan in regards to justification for use of the existing non-conforming sign, so it will move smoothly through the permit process. So you might just, if you could make a note to that effect, but that's, you know, that's going to be up to you on that, but I would recommend that. And all the other prior comments have been addressed. I have no further comments and no objections.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department. The comment is that to indicate the organic mulch around trees per IDO 56C5E, there's two places in the set under mulches on sheet L1, the planting plan, and on the detail number 7 on page sheet L2, planting details. And one other thing, I'm sorry, it wasn't in my comments, but per the IDO, the street trees are required to be within 20 feet of the curb. And when I look at this plan, it does appear that maybe that's not possible given the limit of work. But I was wondering if you could maybe comment on that.
This is Eric Ablin. Let me pull up that. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I feel like on the mulch comment, we went backwards. I apologize for that. There's an overhead electrical line basically right at the property line. And we also have utility easements that run within the right of way or just south of that line as well. And that was the Which easement is that? That is the New Mexico. It's a 20-foot utility easement, really on both sides of the, really all through that area. So we're trying to avoid that easement by placing the trees on the south side. Now, if is there a way we should better document that, or get a statement from maybe, I guess, whoever owns that easement for encroachment requirements and lack of encroachment?
Is the reason because you cannot plant anything or any trees because of something that's happening in the ground, or does it have to do with overhead space? Because you could maybe plant something that's smaller.
We could do something smaller that would solve the overhead issue. If there's an existing utility line or utility easement, typically trees and deeper things other than shrubs are not allowed in those areas because of conflicts with, be it sanitary or water lines that would be in those areas and compromise those water lines, utility lines. I can follow up on that to ensure that we have the lines located, and you know, that would be the formal response. So we could do this offline as well as a back and forth to ensure that we have the right documentation.
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology needs an approved grading and drainage plan prior to approval of site plan for building permit. As the applicant mentioned before, they did make an initial submittal, and Hydrology is provided with comments. Comments need to be addressed. I do know that they are currently working with the MAFCA to try and address the outfall issues for the site. And once these are all addressed, so we'll need a MAFCA approval and an approved grading and drainage plan prior to Hydrology's approval.
Okay, any questions there?
No, this is Eric Ablin. No questions. Thank you.
Okay. Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. It did sound like you had received my comments from last night. Most of them, especially toward the end, were fairly minor, so I won't cover those unless you have any specific questions about those. The main item that was mentioned earlier is because Coors Boulevard is in state jurisdiction, they do rely on us to put any infrastructure on the infrastructure list that they're requiring as part of the development adjacent to their jurisdiction. So the comments that I have are based on a letter that was sent out by Margaret Haynes about a month ago to the traffic engineer, and I wasn't sure if the traffic engineer was present today.
Oh, this is Eric Ablin. No, he is not.
Oh, okay, so I think some of the questions you're asking, we'd have to, you know, discuss with him. I don't believe he had brought up those concerns before, after the letter was sent, regarding detection and whether or not that would work in this situation. But further coordination would be needed with both the DOT and with Tim Brown's group on any concerns that you might have regarding that. But because Coors is the state's jurisdiction, their infrastructure requirements, as stated by Margaret Haynes, would have to be on the infrastructure list. And then any additional right-of-way may need to be dedicated with addition of any public infrastructure or detection loops.
Well, this is Eric Ablin. For clarification, and based on this infrastructure list or that's listed in there, that we're not simply providing the design and scope of these improvements. We actually have to perform the installation of these items. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. You know, items that are recommended in the traffic study by all jurisdictions involved are required to be placed on the infrastructure list.
Are we able to, when we coordinate with Tim, and I guess we'll probably bring you into that meeting as well, is there a way to determine that the existing infrastructure out there, the computers and the cabinets and the controllers, are sufficient for what we would add, and that, you know,
you would have to coordinate with Tim Brown and Mohanad Adib on that to get a better feel for that before proceeding.
Is it the city's position to defer to DOT for all these recommendations, and that the city wouldn't really have any position against?
Well, typically when DOT puts these comments together, they do reach out to Tim Brown's group before making these comments. But I think to go into this in further detail, it would be best to be taken out of the meeting if there are any concerns.
Certainly. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. Planning comments.
Hi, this is Jay Rodenbach. So I just want to stick to this infrastructure list for a second. I didn't have a comment about it in our memo, and I've added it to a revised memo. And I'm just going to note that this infrastructure list will require a recorded infrastructure improvements agreement to be submitted. And you'll need to work with our DRC folks if and when this site plan is approved by the DRB. After that point, you'll need to work on an infrastructure improvements agreement based on this infrastructure list. And I'll note too, Eric, that there's actually a sheet where there needs to be where you as the applicant or as the agent need to sign and date the infrastructure list. And then there's a set of signatures that all the DRB members have to sign the infrastructure list. It's approved with the site plan. When and if that site plan is approved. So we'll need to get you that, you'll need to get that second sheet with those signature blocks on the infrastructure list. And I can, after the meeting, I know we're not at a point of approval. After the meeting, we can, I can get that to you, an example. So I'll also note that we'll need the solid waste signature on the site plan that must be obtained prior to approval of this site plan. Regarding building design requirements, I think we went over this before. They've been met with the exception of the requirement to provide ground floor transparent windows along at least 30% of the length of the facade, and a 10% deviation from that requirement has been applied for. And I won't go over the hydrology and mapping comments. We went over that already. And I'll just note regarding the view protection analysis that staff is still currently reviewing the May 4th supplemental submittal, currently reviewing that to see if they meet the requirements of the VPO1 overlay zone district. So that is still ongoing. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
This is Chair Wolfley, and just a question on the infrastructure list. Does the owner sign that?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Mr. Biazar, could you confirm that? I think we've had engineers who are involved with the creation of these can usually sign these, and I believe owners as well. Mr. Biazar, can you confirm that?
Okay, we'll get that confirmed later. And I just wanted to mention on the view protection overlay for Corus Boulevard, this is a little bit of a technical procedure. There's two tests, the height test and the bulk test. And we have a couple staff members who are seasoned with this, and we need to have them look at this. And I think what I'd like to do is organize a little meeting where they can talk to you about how to do this analysis, because you're approaching it, but it's a little bit of a cursory way and it needs to be a little bit more thorough. And so I think rather than trying to go through details of it right now, I would prefer that we do that. And those staff members haven't been available. this week in order to check in with them, but I don't think you're going to have a huge issue with this, but once again, the analysis needs to be done, and it has to be done according to the procedures outlined in the IDO. So would that be acceptable to you that we try to set up a meeting? I know that the analysis you have so far is not adequate, that much I can determine, but exactly how to correct it and go where we need you to go, we need to pull in those other staff members who have good experience with this. So does that work for you, Mr. Ebeling?
Yeah, this is Eric Ebeling. Yes, that'd be great. I would love that opportunity to talk through it and make sure that we get the analysis as you guys need to review it. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I think your building's going to be smaller, so it's probably going to be easier to meet this. So, okay. With that, it looks like we are looking at a deferral. You started out, I think the critical one here is dealing with the drainage and a MAFCA and getting that approval. If we went out 5 weeks, that would be June 8th. Mr. Miho, do you think that makes sense from the work you know that needs to be done on this, June 8th?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I think that would give the applicant enough time to work on this. I mean, okay. if things are slowed down for any reason dealing with the MAFCA, they can always ask for a longer deferral.
Okay. Mr. Ebeling, June 8th, does that sound okay?
This is Eric Ebeling. Would June 15th be available?
Yes, it would.
May I request June 15th?
Absolutely. Okay, is there a motion to defer item 1 to June 15th?
Wayne Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Somerville, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Wayne Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Somerville, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 1 to June 15th.